Greetings, and once again, welcome to Mimbar. Today, we are going to tackle the question of anti-Semitism. Nowadays, in the West at large, there are certain buzzwords that, when applied to an individual or a system, immediately labels that system or person as against freedom, against humanity, and against justice. These buzzwords are the prejudices. The most powerful labels of which are racism, homophobia, and of course, anti-Semitism. Now, we all agree that some of these terms are odious, and others, well, they might be a matter of debate. But what is important is not the label itself, but how it is defined, how it is used, and what purpose it is used for. One label that the Western media and Christian fundamentalism use to alienate their public from Islam is the label of anti-Semitism. Without any supporting proof, they usually cite the example of the Palestinian struggle for their land as an example of the rabid anti-Semitic fundamentalism of Islam and Muslims, thus creating a hostile environment in the minds of the Western public about Islam. So, is Islam anti-Semitic? Do Muslims want to see the destruction of the Jews? What has been the Muslim attitude to Jews and Judaism throughout its history? We will seek answers to these questions and more with our guest, Dr. Rashid Ibn Isa, Professor of Sociology and Language. Dr. Isa, once again, welcome to Mimbar.
Thank you.
First question I'd like to ask you is, what really is anti-Semitism? How can we define anti-Semitism?
Yeah, it's an ambiguous concept because I am a Semite. As a Berber from North Africa, as an Arab, it is difficult to find more Semite than me. Yeah, the Semites, Sam and Ham, the sons of Noah, and my language is, be it Berber or Arabic, is Semitic, are Semitic languages. I teach these languages, I practice these languages much better than any Jew because I have grown in a Semitic milieu. I can pronounce all the letters of Arabic or Hebrew, while many Jewish cannot because having grown in the West countries, they cannot pronounce ha, it becomes ha.
So you think Semitism or Semites include more than just the Jewish people?
No doubt that right. The Arabs are the bulk of Semite.
So,
and the classified languages, right. Arabic is a Semitic language.
Semitic language.
While the Bible say that the Jewish are not Semitic, but they are Hamit, Sam and Ham, the other brother.
But aren't there, like, for example, Africans descended from Ham? They say?
Yeah.
So are we saying that Jewish people tend to be more like, so like in the African stock?
No, it's not stock. No, all North Africans, no, they come from the same family, the same, we are the sons, the grandsons of Norway. The language, it's a family, language family, which shares 90% of words. Anyone who knows Arabic understand easily. With little training, Hebrew.
But Jews and Arabs go back to Prophet Abraham.
Yeah, but don't say Jews and Arabs, because there are Jews who are Arabs, there are Arab Jews, there are Arab Christians, there are Arab Muslims.
Yes.
So we shouldn't confuse a religion which is called Judaism and with this Semitism. It's a kind of ethno definition.
Right.
Yeah, but you can define Semite against Aryans, against, this is the proper line of division.
Okay, now we have the idea of the Jewish people, right? We have the idea of the Jewish people. We have Moses leading the Jewish people out of Israel.
Yeah.
Right? Who were these people? Were they Semites?
Yeah. Well, the Bible says Hamite, but they say Semite. It's... the Bible says...
And these Jewish people that Moses was leading out of...
of Egypt. Yeah.
They went, their roots go back to Abraham.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Just like, for example, Ishmael.
And yeah, absolutely. Well.
So,
yeah.
So the Arabs and the Jews are related.
They share the same tree, no doubt.
Now, why is it that anti-Semitism has, and by anti-Semitism, I would assume we mean a racist attitude towards Semites?
Yeah, we shouldn't say it's racist, but it's a cultural, because now there is a lot of confusion between these, because the Jewish, they use this confusion, the Zionists make this confusion between a religion and between ethnicity.
But we'll get to that, right?
Yeah.
Now, you say, for example, anti-Semite.
Yeah.
Let's put aside whether they are all Semites or whether they are Jews. Let's put aside that for a while, right? What I want to ask is, when we say anti-Semitism,
it's an arbitrary. It's a, why should I be excluded from that?
Okay, let's say, for example, to be precise,
this concept should include all Arabs.
All Arabs. Okay, that's the point. That's the point, right?
Yeah. Let's say, Arabs, for example, and Ethiopians, who are also
Semites.
Yeah.
Right. Let's say, for example, that all Semites are included in this definition, the definition of Semites, Arabs, Ethiopians, and so forth.
Yeah.
Right? And also Jews, or some Jews, as you might think, right?
No, not the Jews, Hebrews.
Or Hebrews.
Yeah, but
also,
it's also another ambiguous concept. But there are Arab who are Jews. The religion, it's a religion spread, like all religions, they spread. There were many peoples who embraced the religion of Moses, like Christians. There were many ethnies, many peoples.
I understand.
So, and like Islam, we cannot say that Islam is Arabic. The Arabs who are Muslim, there are Arabs who still are Christians, and there are some Arabs in Yemen who are Jewish.
Right.
Yeah, and I met some of them. And the last Jewish, remaining Jewish, who know Hebrew better than all the Israelis, who can pronounce all the letters of the Hebraic alphabet, because they have grown in a Semitic milieu, while the others have grown in Poland or in America.
Why is it that anti-Semitism has been restricted to anti-Judaism?
That's politics. That's politics. It's much more linked to the European history. Throughout history, there were, some attitudes against Jewish in many Western countries, and this concept was forged, was coined to
define this particular attitude.
Yeah, arbitrary, it was confined to Jewish people.
Now, some say that this anti-Jewish attitude goes back to a Christian background, that they see the Jews as the people who are responsible for killing Christ, and therefore out of that came this particular attitude. Is there any truth to that?
Yeah, there is. It's always difficult to define by one reason a so complex phenomenon. But there is surely the prayer which the Christian used to say at the end of all their prayers every Sunday. Let it that the blood of the Christ, let it be that the blood of the Christ falls back on their children, on the next generation till the end of the time. So this is the cursing at every, that they curse the Jews for having presumably killed Jesus.
Right.
This is, and that was debated in 84. There was a great meeting and very elaborated work between Jewish and Christians after Second World War to define a program to eliminate all anti-Jewish themes from the curricula, school curricula.
Mm-hmm.
And that was adopted in 1984. And they will replace this cursing, the cursing which was repeated every Sunday of Jewish, they replaced it by the sentence of Jesus, God forgive my people, that means the Jewish, because Jesus was among the Jewish. God forgive my people, they don't know.
Well, what they do.
Yeah, because they don't know. So that was a program for eliminating all anti-Jewish attitude from the official teaching of the church.
So one can say that anti-Semitism has a direct roots going back to the Christian attitude towards Jews.
I said it is difficult because phenomena are so complex. They are is the anti-Semitism a result or a cause? Is it also we shouldn't forget that in 624 a genocide of Christians happened in Jerusalem when the Persian Empire conquered Jerusalem.
Right.
The Jewish helped them and they were allowed, the Persian arrested, took 300,000 prisoners, and the Jewish bought them of Jerusalem. They bought them and they killed them, they massacred them. And this can be sure and is very documented thing. Anyone can access to the web. He will find the references about this genocide, and around 300,000 people were massacred.
So you think anti-Semitism could go back to that?
The collective Christian memory cannot forget such big genocide, which in fact helped and eased the Islamization, because Islam came just 10 years later. This Jerusalem, the Christian welcomed the arrival of Muslims. They were so happy to be freed from the Jewish hegemony. So such things are, there are a lot of reasons or factors which explains the, and there is also this the Jewish morale, which is a community morale. That means they allow many things to themselves, between themselves, but they forbid them with non-Jewish.
Well, you can see that with a lot of communities existing in the West right now who are not even Jewish, who behave like that.
Yeah.
You know, you can cite some Italians, some Chinese, some Muslims even.
Yeah, but not on scripture, not on text, not based on religious text.
Okay, what I would like to ask is, now they are saying that Islam, Muslims are anti-Semitic and so forth and so on. A lot of people are believing this type of stuff, right? Is there any anti-Semitic teachings? When I say anti-Semitic, of course, I mean in the distorted sense of the word.
Yeah.
You know, they're restricting Semitic only to Jewish to the Jewish people.
Yeah.
So let's stay with that idea for now. Yeah. Even though our listeners and viewers do know that anti-Semitism and a Semite does not just mean a Jew and a certain type of Jew. It means also Arabs, and as the professor said, Ethiopians as well. Now, anti-Semitism. Is there any anti-Semitism or anti-Jewish teachings in Islam, the Quran, the sayings of the Prophet?
Yeah, I can answer for the anti-Jewish, because anti-Semitism is a new concept developed recently. So, but we, in the Islamic perspective, Moses, the religion of Judaism, is a God-revealed religion, like Christian, and there are more Muslims. We cannot be Muslims if we don't believe that Moses is a prophet of God, and there are more Muslims who are called Moses, Musa, and Harun, we have
Aaron, which is Aaron in English, yes.
Harun. We and the Bible in the Quran, with all the conflict which opposed today Muslims and Israel, Jewish, no one asked or proposed or thought that we should suppress from Quran all the Quranic text which plead which for the prophet of Israel. So we, for us, there is a big distinction. The Judaism is a God-revealed religion which deserves all respect, and not only respect for us, we believe, and if we don't believe that Moses was a prophet of God, we cease to be Muslim. So, like exactly for Jesus, after him, when Jesus came, the Jewish didn't believe, but Muslim, when they came, they believed in Jesus, they recognized the Christian religion, and if we say anything bad against Jesus, if we think that Jesus was not born of a virgin, if we say anything against Maria, we cease to be Muslim. So this has nothing to do with the courtesy or with a kind of pleasing. No, it is. These are assets, tenets of our faith.
Uh-huh. Now, somebody who might be looking at this show, who is very cynical, might say, okay, Christians also believe in Moses, they also believe in Joshua and all these people.
And we are the only one.
Yeah. And that did not stop them from being anti-Semitic. That did not stop them from carrying out programs against Jews and so on. So what's the difference? Are there any teachings in Islam that tell us how to conduct ourselves with Jews?
Absolutely.
That tend to talk about Jewish people as people you should respect, etc., etc. Are there teachings like that in Islam?
Yeah, absolutely. First of all, in Islamic tradition, we call the non-Muslim, we call them Ahlul Dhimma. Dhimma means the guarantee. It's a Jewish expert translation, German orientalist. Guarantee d'inviolabilité. It is a guarantee of inviolability. You cannot,
inviolability. Yes.
You cannot violate his rights. Mm-hmm. He's under your guarantee, the guarantee of faith. Mm-hmm. So he should be treated.
And the guarantee of the Islamic State, I presume.
In the Islamic State. So they have a status. This is a word, a very honoring. It's an honoring denomination. I asked one time in France, the one was trying to ridiculize this. I said, I would ask to be Ahlul Dhimma here in Paris, to enjoy that guarantee of respect for my faith. Yeah, we are not free to make Adhan heard in Paris or everywhere. Mm. The Jewish have been practicing their religion. The Christians have been practicing their religion in the Islamic land since Islam, 14 centuries. You have churches, you have synagogues, and they never stopped. In the Middle Ages, they never stopped. And there are a lot of Jewish writers, Jewish poets in Arabic who wrote, and we study that literature, and they remained. They were not suppressed in Yemen. You know, it's only in Yemen that you can find the real remaining proto-Jewish. The only people who can read the Bible properly are the Jewish of Yemen. No others. And we should stop the Jewish of Israel. More than half of them are European people, have nothing, they are not Semite at all. They are half Semite or a quarter of Semite. They are not Semite by their culture. It's a new cultural product which has nothing to do with Semitism. That means a state of cultural state of being a Semite.
The very interesting point that you made in terms of Dhimma. Because right now you find in the West, they are trying to convert this word into something bad.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
It's shaft.
I want to fight against Islam because Islam wants to make me a dhimmi.
Yeah, but dhimmi, you should ask Professor Schacht. Everyone can go and read. He gave that definition, guaranteed d'inviolability. Uh-huh. So I would ask to enjoy dhimmatu, wa'tihim dhimmatallah, give them the guarantee of God. And then the prophet said, no, you give him your guarantee because you may betray. So, atehim zimmataka. He said, you offer them your protection, and they were protected in their rights. Anyone, you know, when we see today in Israel, you know, and in Israel, Christians in Jerusalem want Jews to stop spitting on them.
These are Palestinian Christians.
Yeah, it's a Jewish attitude today. Spitting on religious clerics, Christian clerics in Jerusalem. And this is in Haaretz. Yeah. A few weeks ago, a senior Greek Orthodox clergyman in Israel attended a meeting at a government office in Jerusalem. When he returned to his car, an elderly man wearing a skull cap came and knocked on the window. When the clergyman let the window down, the passerby spat in his face. And you have this every day, it happens there.
I think
so. If these things happen today, imagine what could have happened centuries ago.
Yeah. I think we should more in terms of the contemporary meanings or attitudes.
Towards
anti-Semitism, Zionism, Israel, and so forth.
Yeah.
When we come back after this news break. Stay with us. Welcome back. And we are talking with Dr. Sheikh Rashid Ibn Isa, Doctor of Sociology and Language, about anti-Semitism. Is Islam, as they would like to claim, and that they have been painting us, is Islam anti-Semitic? Now, could you give me another example of the life of Jewish people under Islam in Islamic society, in history?
Yeah, there are a lot. But just to remind, when the Jewish, when after the fall of Granada, the last Muslim city in Spain, the Christian decreed expulsion of Jewish and Muslims. The Jewish, where did they go? They went to Muslim land. They came to Maghreb. And they went to Istanbul. That means they went to Muslim land. That means Muslim land opened their arms to welcome them. What happened to Muslims was much worse.
In Spain, after the Reconquista.
After the Reconquista, it happened one of the biggest genocide. Around 600,000 Muslims were killed. And this is documented in a book published by Rodrigo de Zayas, Le Morisque et le Racisme d'État, Moriscos and the State Racialism. He evaluates the number that have been thrown out in the sea between Spain and between the cities of Maghreb, around 600,000. And that happened 520.
Mm. And it's very interesting to note.
Yeah, this is a huge book, 800 pages, and it is not a historical dissertation. It is a translation of the document of the manuscripts of that period. Mm. So it's not a question of matter of dissertation. Mm. He gives nothing from him. He just translated. It was published in French around 20 years ago, Les Morisques et le Racisme d'État. So the Jewish were much more happier.
Better off in the Muslim lands?
No, because they were not killed. Mm-hmm. They were not killed.
They were respected. Yeah. In fact, I understand that in Spain, the Jewish people experienced a renaissance, an explosion of culture and learning and philosophy, and especially in their religious teachings.
Absolutely. There was in UNESCO 20 years ago, 2-3 days seminar about the Jewish in Muslim lands, and I heard a lot of great Jewish thinkers saying loudly that Jewish never enjoyed more freedom than in Muslim land in Spain.
Mm-hmm. Now, today,
and just to remind that, like Christians, we have still millions of Christians in Muslim world. Why is it? Why are they there? If their physical presence means that they were always free, they were not forced to become Muslim.
Right.
Islam enjoyed in the year 1000 all the power to force them renounce Christian to become Muslim, but they didn't do it. You have today you have 8 million Christians in Egypt. You have Christian Lebanon, in Syria. The second man of Saddam,
Tariq Aziz.
He was Hanna, Jean.
Right.
Hanna Tariq Aziz, he was a Christian. And you have a Christians in all avenues of political, economic life in the Middle East. So they testify by their physical presence that they were not first.
What is the status of Jews in contemporary Muslim society, in the Arab world, in the non-Arab world, but the Muslim society? What is the situation of Jews? Are they oppressed minorities? Are they second-class citizens? What is their situation?
They were not before. They were not, first of all, in the North Africa, they were... most of North Africa was oppressed by the French, was colonized by the French. Before that, they enjoyed the same condition like Muslims. What happened after the creation of Israel, a lot of them migrated. And some of them migrated to France after the independence. They were not, no one forced them to quit the country. But since they were associated with French people, so they felt somehow a little bit threatened, or they thought that the situation would be better to migrate to France.
Right.
And a lot of them migrated to Israel. Mm-hmm. So now few people remained in the Arabic world, like the Jewish of Yemen, most of them fled freely.
Mm-hmm.
They fled freely, migrated freely, and I met even two people who came back to Yemen because they said this is not a Jewish state. So now there is the problem is you don't deal on religious ground. Now there is a problem. Now the Jewish fled to a Palestine, that means to a land from which our brothers, Arabs, Palestinians, have been expelled. This is a new situation. Now we don't deal anymore on religious ground. We deal on political grounds. What is the definition of Israel? Is it a Jew? He defines itself as a Jewish state. But is it a colonial state or a Jewish state or a Jewish colonial state?
And this brings me to the question of the equation or equating anti-Semitism with anti-Zionism. And by extension, equating anti-Semitism with anti-Israelism, if one would use that word.
Yeah.
That is, we are finding right now in this contemporary world that, for example, if you criticize Zionism, you're considered to be an anti-Semitic, an anti-Semite. Or if you criticize, for example, Israel, you're considered to be an anti-Semite.
Yeah.
Could you tell me some more about that?
This is a big issue, which is polluting all the debates today in every country. There is a state which should be considered as any state. That means which cannot escape criticism. Israel should be treated as a normal state, even though it's not a normal state, because right. it's a colonial state. And illegally founded, they ousted 5 million people, indigenous, from their land, and they brought 5 million from all Europe.
Like a settler state, like, for example, South Africa or Australia used to be, or the United States
Was founded. But there is a difference between South Africa, because there they conquered, but they didn't oust people. Mm-hmm. They humiliated, they etc., but they didn't oust them, they didn't force them to leave
people,
the country.
Yes.
Yeah, but what happened, now you have 5 million Palestinians living in the camps in all Arab countries. Or diaspora, Arab Palestinian diaspora is 2-3 million people outside, so more than that. So and they brought new people, and every year you have tens of thousands of people coming from Russia, from countries where they enjoy situation. They have nothing to
right.
do with Palestine.
So what is the meaning of Zionism? When you say, for example, when they try to equate, for example, anti-Semitism with anti-Zionism, there are a lot of people out there who would like to know, what really is Zionism? Define Zionism for me.
Yeah,
so Zionism, we can make a distinction between, you know, anti-Jewish racism, for example, and this...
Yeah,
concept.
This is a concept coined by Hertz, Theodor Hertz. Zionism is the ideology which calls to bring people from, Jewish people from all over the world, to the Zion mountain in Palestine. This is Zionism, like communism, etc., racism, etc. And this was said in his book, Jewish State.
So it's an ideological
political ideology. Theodor Herzl wasn't believing, he wasn't a Jewish believer. It was, even though at the beginning they thought to make a state in many other parts of the world, and then they thought, even they collaborated with Hitler to bring Jewish to Palestine, to force. It was good that the Jewish suffered in Germany because it helped them go out to Palestine. Mm-hmm. And there are a lot of documents about this. So Zionism has nothing to do with Judaism, and you have a lot. You have many Jewish schools which fight against Zionism. Mm-hmm. Many great rabbi, great religious authority, who said that Zionism is a perversion of Judaism, is a threat to religion.
Okay,
you have, for example, in America this school, Natura Carta. For them, it's the biggest sin for Jewish to create a state, and bigger sin to create a state in a land from which you have expelled its owner.
Okay, I got this question for you.
Yeah.
So I got a question. How is now this, what is the purpose now of equating Zionism with Israel, and both of them with Semitism? Is there a purpose behind that?
Yeah, no, sure. The purpose is Israel wants to gain a kind of immunity, sacredness, to escape any criticism of its foundation which are political. They are not religious. They used and misused religion. They used and misused religious emotions, sincere people, but the reason, the factors are political. So today it's a weapon to label someone as anti-Semite. Whenever you say something, you criticize Israel, like you criticize any country. But now there is a super state, because in America, in UK, everywhere, people criticize their government. they criticize the government, they question the policies, they question what's happening locally. But in Israel, Israel cannot be questioned. When American people, they cannot ask why do they give $5 billion to a far away state called Israel? It's not a part of Israel, of America. Why should they give $4 billion to Israel? Why should they keep silent on what's happening in Palestine today?
So this this idea of anti-Zionism and anti-Israel being equated with anti-Semitism and affecting the emotions of people has a political agenda.
Yeah, no doubt.
To keep Israel away from being criticized and questioned.
Yeah.
Now, is this anti-Semitism now? Is anti-Semitism or Yeah, anti-Semitism. Is this now being replaced? Is it now being replaced by anti-Islamism? You know,
yeah.
isn't the new anti-Semitism anti-Islamism?
Yeah, but maybe we will move to this later. But we should say something about this because it's a big issue. First of all, we have to notice why there is no anti-Islamism or there is no anti-Christianism. Everyone can make caricature of Islam, and you remember. A lot of films make caricature of Christianity about church. But there is one culture, there is one state, which is above all any criticism. If you dare to say why Israelis are uprooting 120,000 trees in Palestine, why should they kill a girl, American girl who came from America.
Rachel Corrie.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. We should ask people to go to internet and to find Google Rachel Corrie to find out the conditions in which this civil rights militant,
right.
23 young girl who came from America, she went
killed by a bulldozer. We don't want to go too deep into that, but you know. For every crime, let's say for example in the military, huh? You want to make an attack, you put a smoke screen.
Yeah.
You know, you put some smoke bombs, the enemy doesn't know what you're doing.
Yeah.
Huh?
Yeah.
Right now you find that because of this inviolability of criticism,
yeah,
combined with a focus on the bad guy Muslim. Islam as a threat to Western civilization and Western values and so on, you find that now we have a new kind of racism, basically. A new kind of anti-Semitism. You know, anti-Semitism on a religious level. You know, and anti-Islamism, anti-Muslims. When they see, for example, the Muslims, they look at the Muslims, they see you with a beard, they think you're a threat to national security. They see you with a hijab, they think you're a threat to national security.
Yeah.
What I'm saying now is 50 years ago, 100 years ago, Jewish people in the West, 200 years ago, from the time of the Reconquista till the World War II, right? You had the bad man, the evil person being the Jew.
Yeah.
Now, in the 21st century,
yeah.
We have the bad man, the evil person, to be the Muslims. So again, I ask, is Islam, anti-Islamism, the new anti-Semitism of the 21st century in the Western world?
Yeah, no doubt. But for other reasons. It's for other reasons. The Jewish never threatened culturally the West because there is no appeal to Christians to come back to Judaism.
Mm-hmm.
It's a you cannot go back, you know, Jesus came after Moses, you cannot go back. But for Christians, Islam is an appeal, a logical appeal, because the prophet of Islam came six centuries later.
Right.
So it's a challenge. It's a challenge for them. And since the West is going through religious doubt, a lot of few people remain due to many reasons, to the historical perception of Jesus, he was Son of God, etc.
Right.
So they have problems with their faith, and they cannot prevent people from being appealed, called by Islam. So this is another problem. It's not a political problem. This is a cultural problem.
But wouldn't they feel even more threatened?
Yeah, they feel, but it's another. It's not political. There is no Islamic lobby promoting Islam. There is no people who are going preacher to preach Islam in the
right.
West. It's daily. It's another problem.
On the local level,
Zionism. This is a fabric. This is a political machinery. You have lobbies for that. Jewish lobby in America. It's the biggest state. It is the biggest state.
Right.
When President Carter says that we cannot have a quiet debate about Israel in America, it is a big significance. We cannot debate in any country about Israel. You can debate about all states. You can criticize all the policies. But whenever you say, immediately you're devilished. This is a weapon, anti-Semitism. It's a weapon to silence people.
From criticizing.
From questioning why Israel is conquering.
But check this out. Look at this.
Right.
You're saying that anti-Islamism is merely a kind of a cultural phenomenon.
But merely, I don't say merely because it's a big.
It's a big deal.
Yeah, it's a big deal.
But I say merely because I think what's happening here is like we're probably restricting it to that particular aspect. When we look at the Muslim world, especially the Muslim world that's sitting on all that oil.
Yeah.
You know, yeah. And there's a movement, an Islamic movement, an Islamic tendency.
Yeah.
To make themselves independent of that in their oil production and in their self-sufficiency and in their own politics and so on. Indeed, really, a movement to limit the type of control Western powers have over that environment. How could we say that Islamism is not itself something political as well as cultural?
Islamism is a political phenomenon. It's an awareness that the rulers we have in Muslim world don't devise the proper and the relevant policies to let their people advance forward. So, and also it's a reaction to threat, cultural threat of hegemony, of westernization. So it's an identity feeling, so a reaction to defend the identity. But between Muslims and between the Christian world, there is a third player, which is the lobby.
Right.
Yeah, the lobby, Jewish lobby. It's called itself Jewish lobby in America. And it is strange that you cannot say this word in countries like France. If you say Jewish lobby in France, you will be maybe brought to court.
Yeah.
Although in America it is called like this.
Right.
So.
Couldn't one, let's say for example, couldn't we create a Muslim lobby? Couldn't we create a Muslim lobby?
We should.
And probably the reason why we have not done so is because the Muslim presence in the West is too recent, for example.
Yeah.
And could it be then that, for example, Muslims being a potential political force, for example, like in the United States, that, for example, all of this anti-Islamism, the spread of Islam, which would entail, for example, fundamental changes in the whole political and economic superstructure in the society, this threat, you know, they are probably acting to sort of forestall this threat.
This is
by creating this anti-Islamic tendency.
Yeah, this is why I believe, and many Muslims believe, and now not only Muslims, many Americans believe that 9/11 was never done. It was instrumentalized. Muslims were instrumentalized by forces which have used, misused, but for them well used for their own purposes to bring a gap between Islam and the West.
Right.
Because Muslim, I don't see what we gained by downing two towers. It's just idiot, and but we see what we lost, because Islam was in America, Islam was enjoying real freedom, much bigger than European countries. I went there many times. I was really, I found mosques in which you can hear Adhan. This is something you cannot find in European cities. So Islam was treated almost, even not on equal foot, like other religions. You're a religious person, you can be invited without any obstacle. This is something which doesn't happen in France, right, for example. So the lobby saw that Islam is advancing in America. It was proposed for people, a new religion which was coming to a new land, proposed peacefully, and a lot of Muslims, first of all blacks, that means people who have nothing to lose because they are freer, or wretched of the earth, are always more available to hear the truth, because they have no interest to.
We're out of time. But thank you very much. And I like the note we ended on, right? The note we ended on was that Islam was and is a spreading force in the West. And these the usage of these words, anti-Semitism, which has a real historical background, which is something that we should fight against. But equating it with anti-Zionism and anti-Israelism, and trying to forestall the spread of Islam in the West, have become a complex that is leading towards an even greater restriction of the source and the search for truth in the West and for justice among peoples. Join us again next week, the same time, same channel. And if you have any questions, comments, we would welcome them. You write to us at mimbar@presstv.ir. Looking forward to seeing you again next week. Have a good one.